Hey, you're listening to a sermon from Fellowship Church in Royce City. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11, and we would love to see you there. To connect with us online or to find more resources, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook or check us out at fellowshiprc.com.
Well, y'all go ahead and be seated. Kids, if you want to go down to Kids Church, kindergarten through fourth grade, the rest of you pull your phones out and turn your flashlight on so you can follow along here in just a moment. If you weren't here during the announcements, we did have a malfunction today with a issue that sprayed water all over some of the breakers, and so we don't have house lights. How many of you have never had the opportunity to go see Old Faithful? You've never seen Old Faithful. You're here a couple of hours too late, because you could have seen it out here, because that hot water heater was spewing water everywhere, okay? So here's the deal. Use your phone, and we're going to get by with it, and everything's going to be cool. If you've never been here before, one of the things we want to do is not only welcome you, but let you know we're walking through the book of Philippians. And Philippians is literally a toolbox for those that are followers of Jesus about how we should live, how we pursue Christ, how Christ changes our life, how we press forward in our walk with Christ. And so every week we've unpackaged what we would say is another tool of this toolbox of Scripture and how it applies to our life. And so that's why the toolbox is up here. In just a moment, we will be revealing another tool. And so what we want to do here is just kind of jump in with where we are. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I want to read to you the first verse that we're looking at today. Now remember, if you were here last week, we ended with verse 11 here in Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read just the first verse of today's 12 through 19 and kind of set the stage. So after Paul gets through with what he says in verse 11, okay, he says here in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own." And so we have to stop here and we have to ask ourselves a question. What is Paul talking about? He says, not that I've already made this my own, not that I've already obtained this, but I press on. Okay, well, Paul, what are you talking about? So what we have to understand is that what Paul's talking about is how he ended that section from last week with verses 10 and 11. And because of it, what Paul says is this. Okay, so if you have your Bible open, we go just up a couple of verses, and we start here in Philippians chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. Here's what he says. That I may know him. So here's the deal. Paul wanted to know Christ. He says he wanted to know the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So if you remember what that was about last week, was that Paul was saying this, the goal of my life is to know Christ more every day, to know him and to know him and to know him, because Christ is never going to be exhausted. All right, you know that even in heaven, we will know more about Christ on day one and then on day 10,000 or year 10,000 or 20,000 of all eternity, will still be learning more about who Christ is. And so what Paul says is this, I want to know more. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. Remember last week, what that is that's God's ability to overcome sin. He says, I want to know that. Then he says, I want to realize, or remember this part right here? He says, I want to attain the resurrection from the dead. And if you remember where we left off last week, is that's Paul saying this, I want to live my life on such a level as a disciple of Jesus that in a spiritually dead world, people see me and they go, that person has been resurrected spiritually. I want to live every day as a spiritually alive, resurrected person. So there's that group of scripture right there. And so in verse 12, what Paul says is this, hey, look, I haven't obtained this, but that's what I'm striving for. I am striving to get to this place that I'm describing. Now, he understands that it's impossible. Paul understood I'm never going to completely get to this place because it's unattainable. But he says, at the same time, it is worth pursuing every day. So here's the essential truth today. Here's what I want you to leave here in just a little bit. Walk out the doors and process however long it takes you. But I want you to hear this. you'll never live a spiritual life of purpose on accident. You'll never live a spiritual life of purpose on accident. You're never going to learn how to play an instrument on accident. You're never going to learn how to become better at whatever it is you want to become better at on accident. There is a process. There is a buy-in. There is an everyday going forward. And this is what Paul's talking about. Paul says, if you grow in your relationship with who Christ is, if you grow every day as a disciple of Jesus, if you know him more tomorrow than you did today, Paul would say this, that does not happen on accident. And so for us to understand this, what Paul's talking about is this pursuit of holiness. The Bible says, or God says of himself, be holy because I am holy. Conform to who I am. In a world that lives for itself, you live for me. And so we're supposed to be pursuing this. And so there's two words I want to make sure that we're on the same page with, okay? And they're theological, doctrinal words. There's justification and there's sanctification. We have to understand what the difference between the two is. So justification is that moment that you give your life to Christ, you commit your life to Christ. And the Bible says you immediately are saved, you become a child of God, and the Holy Spirit indwells your life, comes to live inside your life. And that when God sees you, he doesn't see you as perfect because you're sinful, but what God sees you as forgiven because you wear the robe of righteousness that Christ has for you. So, not because of what I've done, but because what Christ has done for me. And I give my life to Christ, and now God sees me as forgiven. The debt has been paid. That's justification. That happens immediately when you give your life to Christ. Sanctification is this daily conforming to who Christ is. It's a daily walk of holiness. It is being able to say this, I am closer to Christ and conformed to who God wants me to be 10 years from now than I am today. It is a process. It is an ongoing process that never ends until the moment you see Jesus face to face. This race that Paul talks about, and he talks about it in Corinthians as well, this race for us, who, if you're a follower of Jesus, here's what the race looks like. It starts the moment you give your life to Christ. See, so many people think this spiritually. They think, well, I gave my life to Christ. I have finished. I've made the biggest decision of my life, and it's done. No, you made a decision to follow Christ, and it starts now. And it starts every day of your life until the moment you cross the finish line. The finish line is not until you see Christ face to face in heaven. And between that moment you give your life to Christ and the moment you see Jesus face to face, whether because your life has ended on this earth, because Jesus has returned for his church, every day is to be lived pursuing and striving and growing in your relationship. There's to be no downtimes. There's to be no pauses. There's to be no, I'll pick this up later. Paul says, keep moving forward. And so what Paul says is this. These things, church, that I've just told you in 10 and 11, I haven't obtained these, but I am pursuing them every single day until the end of my life. The reason that Paul was so consumed with pursuing Christ every day is he actually explains it, and there's three things. Number one, he knew that Jesus had saved him and called him. And he knew because of that, God had a purpose for his life. And because Jesus had pursued him and Jesus had called him and Jesus had saved him because God had a purpose for his life, Paul says, I have an obligation to pursue my relationship with Christ every day. And he kind of sets the stage here. So here's the question we're going to ask today. We've been asking Paul a lot of questions. Here's the question for today. All right, Paul, so you left off in 10 and 11 and you talked about these things and how to live every day with this type of power and this type of moving forward. And then in verse 12, you said, well, even you haven't attained it, but you're pressing, you're striving on. Okay, now Paul, how do I keep on? So if you notice, today's message is keep on keeping on, okay? That means that every day, no matter what happens, you just keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward in your pursuit of faith. That's why the thing that we want everybody to think about when they think of this body of believers is moving faith forward. Everybody's faith constantly moving forward, whether it's the first time you give your life to Christ or whether you've been a believer for 25 years and you say, you know what, I need to keep moving forward and growing. Okay, so Paul would say this, let's keep moving forward. So how do we do it? So here's today's tool. Every week has a tool. What would Paul use as an example today for a tool? All right, here's today's tool. It's a little bit smaller than last week's floor buffer. Okay, so today's tool is a battery. I got the big dog here, the big 6-volt, but not because of anything else other than I really wanted, little did I know we weren't going to have any lights. To the best of your ability, though, not a 6-volt, but what brand of battery is this? And what do we know about Energizer batteries? And they really don't, because eventually they run out of juice. All right, remember the bunny? That was like their big deal. Energizer batteries, they keep going and going and going. What I want you to think about today, as Paul is kind of teaching us here, is that I want you to think of your faith as a follower of Jesus like kind of that tagline of that battery of Energizer. And that is that it is to be going and going and going and going and going. And so here's what Paul would say. We ask this question, how do I keep going? Paul gives us the secret of becoming spiritually driven. Every follower of Jesus needs to say this about themselves. I want to become a spiritually driven follower of Jesus. Well, what does it look like? Well, Paul gives us an example. As Paul is writing to us, he says, look, here's a couple of steps. If you're going to be spiritually driven, you need to do a couple of things. All right, now here's the first thing in verses 13 and 14. Let's read them together. So Paul goes on from 12 and he says this in 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, and here's what he'd say about becoming spiritually driven. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All right, Paul, so what does this look like? And Paul said this, in order to be a spiritually driven follower of Jesus, the first thing you have to do is you have to forget the past. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, I want to forget all the horrible things that happened in my past. Great. Paul would say, you know what? All those past victories, you got to quit living back there too. If all I do is live in my past victories, then I can't live forward to what God has for me. Now, let me make something real clear. Paul's not saying forget everything about your past. Paul's not saying, hey, if 10 years ago you made this mistake, don't look back there and make it again. No, he'd say learn from that and move forward. What Paul's talking about is here, past victories and past baggage that's keeping you from moving forward. Whatever that is in your life, Paul would say, let it go and move forward. And too many times what happens is we live in the past, whether that's positive or negative. You know in the Old Testament that God routinely told his people, I want you to remember this day, and then I want you to celebrate this day every year to remember what I have done. So Paul's obviously not saying that we can't remember what happened. What Paul says is this, you can't live there. You can't live there. So you got to forget your past. Why would Paul say this? I think there's three basic reasons why Paul would say this. I think one of the things that Paul would say is this. I think the biggest thing that I need to remember about living in my past, I think Paul would say this, was the things that I had done before I gave my life to Christ. Because before Paul gave his life to Christ, Paul was Saul, the persecutor of the church. Remember we talked about that last week? Where Paul was so elevated and so zealous for God that he would not let anything compete with Judaism. And that meant Christianity and the church. And so Saul, before he gave his life to Christ, was running around, imprisoning Christians, shutting churches down. Can you imagine, fast forward, and Paul is sharing the gospel with a young woman, and immediately the thing comes into his mind, and Satan's using this and going, hey, what gives you the right to share with this woman about Jesus? So many years ago, somebody just like her, you drug off. And they imprisoned her, and then they ended up killing her. Or a young man. Can you imagine living that kind of life? And Paul says, look, I can't stay back there. Because I've been changed and redeemed, and I've been justified, and God's called me to go to a different direction. So I think Some of his past he had to get rid of. I'm sure there were some past victories. He had to say, I got to keep going forward. But I also think that as somebody who was already persecuted, that Paul says, hey, I got to forget those things too. You know, Paul was persecuted. Paul was beaten. Paul was dragged around. Paul was in prison. Paul was thrown out of town. Why? Doing what God called him to do. And so Paul says this, if you're going to be spiritually driven, you've got to get into a point in your life where you forget both past victories and past baggage so that you can move forward. And that's the next thing that he says. Notice what he says right here. So what's the opposite of looking back? The opposite of what lies behind, he would say, is this, and straining forward to what lies ahead. I think this would have been a great illustration. And I think that if you think about like the illustration of all illustrations, I think this could have been it. If there could have been any way that we could have put a car on the stage, number one, I think you would have always remembered it, all right? And number two, I think it's a great illustration. When you get in your car when we leave, I want you to notice something for me, as if you don't already know this. When you get in your car to leave, I want you to notice in front of you. And I want you to notice this. The windshield in your car is much bigger than the rearview mirror, isn't it? The windshield is for going forward, and it's big, and it's expansive compared to how small the rearview mirror is. The rearview mirror is there to look in the backwards and to see what's going on. You wouldn't get very far if you pulled out of the parking lot today and you looked in the rearview mirror trying to go forward, would you? Matter of fact, it would probably be, I mean, we've already got one insurance claim probably going to happen in the back part of the church. We'd have others out here as you're plowing through people. And so what Paul would say is this, you got to keep your eyes forward in the big windshield going there instead of looking right here in the rearview mirror. There's a reason why it's bigger. And so one of the things that I want to point you to, if you have a copy of God's word with you, if you got a pen or whatever, I always like circling words to know what they're really about here. But I want you to look at something real quickly. In verse 14, he says this, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I want you to circle that word call, because that word call is significant. The word call in the New Testament, whether it's call, called, or calling, almost always refers to God's desire or calling upon his people to conform day by day to who Jesus is. Now, I want you to notice that day by day. So as we keep our eyes on the future, we run a race where day by day in this calling, we are to move forward. You know what that means? That means that however you run today in pursuit of who Christ is, tonight you're going to have an opportunity to sit in bed before you go to sleep and ask yourself this question, how did I run today as a follower of Jesus? And as you evaluate it, pick out what you did well, pick out how you failed, and then say this, and tomorrow I'm going to run better than I did today. And so we have this ongoing process. That's why we talk about it being a marathon and not a sprint. And so every day, what Paul would say is this, every day on this race as you press forward to grow in Christ, every day has a checkpoint. And you check it. As people who are called by God, you check it and then say this, and tomorrow I'm going to run better than I did today. And see, this is what happens. So a person gives their life to Christ, they're not expected to run the race the way that somebody who's been a believer for 20 years. And yet both of them have expectations on their life that they'll run better for Christ tomorrow than they did today. Are you running like that? Does it ever cross your mind, how did I run today for Christ? How did I pursue him? What did I do for Christ? How did I grow? How am I conforming to who he is? How am I living for him? Tomorrow, I'm going to go even further. So spiritually driven people, they forget what lies behind them, and they're always pressing towards, God, what do you have for tomorrow? What do you have for tomorrow? What do you have for a year from now? What's going to happen in 5 years from now? Because I'm all in. And then spiritually driven people, they walk with Christ, And there's two things that all spiritually driven people who walk with Christ have in common. The first thing that they have in common is found in verse 16. Okay, so let me read this to you. In verse 16, Paul says this, "Only let us hold true to what we have attained." Hold true to the salvation that you have attained. Hold true to it. Now, the reason we know that Paul's talking about staying true to that is because in a minute I'm going to read to you verses 18 and 19 where Paul points to people who live differently than those who are believers. What Paul would say is this from verse 16, that spiritually driven people who walk with Jesus, the first thing they have in common is this, that their walk is different than it was before they committed their life to Christ. See, if you say this, "I've given my life to Christ," well, when did you do that? 10 years ago. How did your life change? It didn't change at all. Warning. You don't understand what it means to give your life to Christ. That your life looks differently now than it did then. The standards that you live your life by before Jesus cannot be the standards you live your life by after Jesus. Now, you may not have it all together, especially when you're a new believer, but that's what this process is all about. That's why in our discipleship process, what we tell people all the time is that those who have gotten to a place of spiritual adulthood should never look down upon those that are just starting their journey. And the reason is because if you attain to a place of spiritual adulthood, guess what? There was a time when you were a spiritual child, but everybody's got to be moving towards understanding who they are in Christ. So that's just the way it is. Now here's what Paul would say. So we're going to skip verse 17. So Paul says, hold true to what we have attained, that your life looks different today than it did the day you gave your life to Christ. And then he tells us, okay, show us what that looks like. And so as we get to this place, notice this. Look at verses 18 and 19, because he explains something to us. Verse 18 says this, "For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk," here's a listing, "as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with their minds set on earthly things." Paul is describing people who don't know Jesus. And so what Paul would say is this, spiritually driven people, because they know Christ, they have totally different standards in the way they live. What are those things that Paul just described? Paul described the old standard before Christ. And here's what he said. He lists those four things. He said, number one, people that don't know Christ are opposed to Jesus. Now, you don't have to be screaming and yelling and violent to oppose Christ. A lot of nice people oppose Jesus. You know how? They reject him. So Paul says this, number one, they oppose Christ. He said, number two, their end is destruction. Notice how Paul gives us a good description? Okay, because they don't know Christ, their end is destruction. He says their God is their belly, but actually what that means is that their God is whatever appetite they want to satisfy on the earth. If they want to pursue money, they pursue money. If they want to pursue fame, they pursue fame. Whatever it is that pleases them, that's what they pursue. And then number four, their values are reversed. That's what he says. Now I want to read to you in Isaiah chapter 5. Now listen to me and ask yourself this question. Does this not describe the vast majority of people in our culture? In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, thinking about that last thing that Paul was talking about, their values are reversed, their minds are set on earthly things. Listen to what Isaiah said. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Folks, you live in a culture right now that everything that God says is the way that I want it and is perfect and is right, the world says, no, it's wrong, you got it backwards. And so what Paul's doing here is he's describing in verses 18 and 19 people who oppose Christ, people who have rejected Christ, people who live for themselves, people who have an unhealthy, unrealistic view of the way things are to work. And what Paul says in verse 16 is this, hold true to what it means to know Christ. That your life looks different tomorrow as a follower of Jesus than it looks today. A marathon, not a sprint. Here's the other mark of spiritually driven people who are constantly walking with Christ. They walk with other spiritually driven disciples of Jesus. Now it's interesting because here's what Paul says in verse 17. In verse 17, Paul says this. He says, brothers, now watch this, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk accordingly to the example that you have in us. Hey guys, join in imitating me as I follow Christ. Join in imitating others who are passionately following Christ. And if you want to be a spiritually driven person, whether it's the second day that you've become a Christian or whether it's year 10 and you realize you're in a rut, follow people who are spiritually pursuing Christ with everything they have. Here's how I want to explain this. Paul's saying that we should be walking and running together in harmony as we pursue Christ. Almost like we've been talking about it's a marathon, not a sprint. So here's one thing I'm going to tell you. They always talk about just being open and honest and just real before people when you speak. And this is going to catch you off guard. And I realize this. There's probably going to be a huge gasp when you hear me from the crowd when I say this. I don't know a lot about long distance running. I don't know if you can tell that or not. I don't know a lot about long distance running. And now at my age, in all honesty, I don't know very much about short distance running either. Okay? I can't tell you the last time I ran, like from me to Gary. Why? Why do I need to run? Even today, when I was in the cafe in the foyer area, and hey, we got a huge leak. All right, let's walk down there and see what's going on. You know one thing I do know about marathon runners and long distance runners, though? There's always a lead runner. There's always a runner that sets the pace. And Paul used a lot of athletic, for his time, illustrations. I think what Paul would say is this. Hang out, if you want to grow in Christ, and if you want to become a spiritually driven person, if you want to become that person that's always growing as you pursue Christ, okay, find the people that are setting the pace. Start hanging out with them and start running with them. Maybe this will help drive the point down a little bit better. So a couple of weeks ago, I apologize to Christiana and the kids. I got to talk about Scott for a second. Paul. Scott shows up at the office. He's all excited. I see you back there. Why are you so excited? I just bought a banjo. Why would you be excited about that? Okay. Hey, come into my office with a big groan on yourself. I just bought a motorcycle. Okay. Or I just bought this. Awesome. I bought a banjo. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. Learn how to play it. You know anything about the banjo? Nope. Should have seen Scott and Jeff trying to figure out how to tune a banjo. Seriously, y'all don't even know all the parts and how they work yet, do you? So he's back there going, nope. And I'm not anti-banjo music. I think banjos are pretty cool, to be honest with you. Now I can imagine that if Scott really wants to learn how to play the banjo, he could get on YouTube and he could find some videos and some different things to kind of show him how to play the banjo, right? But if he really is passionate about joining a bluegrass band one day and retiring up in Branson and, you know, at the Scott Finch Theater. Okay, what he needs to do is he needs to do this. If he's serious about it, here's what happens. I need to find whoever's really good at playing the banjo. And I need to hang out with them. I need to learn from them. And yes, pun intended, I need to pick their brain. That was a good one. That just came right there. That's a good one. I need to pick their brain, okay? Pick their brain, pick the banjo. Y'all get the point? What Paul says here as he's kind of beginning to wrap up this portion of his letter is he's saying this. You need to passionately follow Christ every day. You need to constantly be growing. You need to evaluate tonight, how did I run? How could I run better? You need to forget what is behind you, and you need to strain towards what is ahead. Your walk as a follower of Jesus needs to look differently today than it did yesterday, than it did the day before that, and especially, as he pointed out, verses 18 and 19, than it did before you gave your life to Christ. And he would say this, find the lead runner, find the best banjo player, whoever it is that you know, and say this, teach me how to run for Christ better. Here's the bottom line. God's calling always puts an obligation on the follower of Jesus. God didn't say the day you gave your life to Christ, well, that's it. What God says is, now there's an obligation to start running. And you run and you run and you run and you keep going, you keep going, you keep going, you keep growing, you keep growing, you keep growing until the day I call you home. Now, there was a point in Paul's life as he ran for Christ and ran for Christ and as he pursued Christ and he pursued Christ that they finally came and got him and they took him and, here's, be honest, chopped his head off. Martyred him for being a believer in Christ. And at that moment, he crossed the finish line. Well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that what you want? If you're a follower of Jesus, isn't that what we want? If we're to be moving faith forward, that's what we need to do. And when we talk about running with other people, one of the reasons why that we baptize publicly, and we're going to close our service with baptism and a time for response. And Kaylee, if you'll go ahead and come up here. Kaylee asked me one of the coolest questions about a month ago. Come up here, and I'll meet you around there. Actually, it wasn't a question, it was a statement that she made that I loved. And she said, when I was younger, I thought I knew what it was like to be committed to Christ. But she said, recently God's been working in my life, and I've come to the realization that I didn't know what it meant to be committed to Christ. The obligation that Paul's talking about to run every day for Christ. And so today, as we celebrate publicly, Kelly's moving her faith forward. Think about that. As she begins to say, I want to run every day the way that God wants me to run. I'm moving my faith forward. Some of you need to follow in baptism. You need to take that next step of moving your faith forward. Some of you in here don't know Christ. You know he's pursuing you. You need to give your life to Christ, the first step of moving your faith forward. Others, you've been, I don't want to get involved in a connect group. I don't want that kind of commitment within the church. And the Holy Spirit's telling you, no, that's where you need to be, and you need to move your faith forward by getting in a connect group. But today we celebrate with Kaylee, but we also challenge everybody else in a public way. Move your faith forward. Paul says, run and run and run and don't stop running. Kaylee, because you've given your life to Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk a new life.